because they've made movies of this one. These brothers come before Joseph, and they never know it's Joseph. He might look like an Egyptian, but he's not an Egyptian. He would have his hair, his clothing, his language would look all like an Egyptian, but he wasn't. It even said about that cup, hey, I can do divination. That was all to show to his brothers that to make him look like he was truly an Egyptian, but he wasn't. Because it was a whole way of him testing them, were they truly repentant? Had they really repented of what they did to him? And did they change? Were they different people than they were before who sold him into slavery? He couldn't tell if he could trust them. It's through it all, he was desiring a relationship to be restored with them. And in order for a relationship to be restored with them, he had to trust them. And that's why this elaborate scheme, if he would have said, first of all, I'm Joseph, he wouldn't have known if they truly had repented. And therefore, he's trying to push Benjamin in the corner, and that's why he puts this cup in his bag so that he's centered out. And when he tells his servant to go to them and said, hey, bring the man back who has the cup in his bag. Bring him back and make him a slave. Just like Joseph had been, you can say, taken away from the brothers so many years before this. He's going to say, what are they going to do when Benjamin is going to be pushed in the same situation? Are they going to make the same story? A wild beast killed him. Or, hey, we couldn't do anything about it. What would they do? And it's interesting, in the midst of this, Judah, he stands up. He's not the oldest. It was supposed to be the oldest son who would, you could stand up for the others. That was the tradition. Judah was the fourth in line, but he had already, we know that he's in the line of Jesus Christ. He was the great ancestor of Jesus Christ. In a sense, in the story, although a flawed one, he, in some ways, you can say, points to Jesus Christ, speaking up for others, being there for others. But you can see that he's a flawed one. And in verse 16, we read, and Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, in whose hand the cup has been found. And that word found out, it can also mean uncovered. God has found out or uncovered our guilt. And he's not talking about Benjamin's guilt for having the cup in his bag. He's talking about he and his brother's guilt, and maybe more specifically his guilt, because he was the one who came up with the idea of selling Joseph into slavery. And if you read the passages before this, when Joseph is, you can say, being harsh with them, they consistently say that, hey, it seems like God is punishing us for the sin that we did to our brothers so many years before. And this is a long time previously. Over 20 years had passed since they sold Joseph into slavery. And now, Judah says in a very clear way, hey, God has uncovered it. We've tried to suppress it for those over 20 years, but now it's coming out, and they know it. I don't know if you've ever had it that you had a sin from way back when, and you tried to cover it, try to make it look like you're a different person, and then suddenly something happens, and you're reminded of that sin that you've done before. It's uncovered in a sense. Just like if you pretended your house was clean and wiped all the dust underneath the carpet, And then somebody lifted it up and noticed, hey, you haven't been cleaning. You've just been pushing it under the carpet. It makes you feel kind of guilty. Or not kind of guilty. It makes you feel really guilty. Hey, what was that? I was trying to suppress it. And when you suppress your guilt, you try to cover it up with things, with busyness, or with maybe a life of, hey, I'm really good. Because sometimes people can, you can say, cover up their sin by seeking to be super righteous. But there's one thing that often happens when people cover their guilt. They tend to be not very gracious people, because guilt makes them unable to be gracious to others. And here, when his guilt is uncovered, Judah becomes more of a different person. He's willing to say, okay, make me the servant, make me the slave, not Benjamin. I know he's innocent. I'm not going to do what I did to my other brother, Joseph, so many years before. I'm going to stand up for him. I'm going to stand up for him. And when guilt is uncovered in your life, when God, through circumstances in your life, allow you to see the guilt within your own heart of particular sins, how do you respond? Do you try to throw another layer over top of it to try to cover it again? Or are you willing to admit it before the Lord? And are you willing to say, hey, this is God doing this? God, in a gracious way, has allowed the guilt to be uncovered so it can be dealt with, so you can know forgiveness. Because forgiveness only comes through repenting and believing. Repenting, saying, God, I did this. Please forgive me. And I'm willing to make amends. I'm willing to take consequences. But please forgive me. And that's any relationship. If you've hurt somebody and it's covered up for a period of time, and then you come to that realization you're guilty, part of that feeling guilty should say to the other, I'm willing to make amends. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm willing to make amends. I'm willing to take consequences. I'm willing to admit it. But please forgive me. And Judah was in this, you can stage of you can say, understanding that he was guilty before God, because it really says, God has found out or uncovered the guilt of your servants. He's recognizing God. And when you feel guilty, do you recognize that's God doing something in your life, and it's a positive thing? It might not feel good. It should never feel good. Guilt shouldn't feel good, but it's good for you. Just like if you had a bad sore and it was infected, and you just kept on putting bandages over top of it, it's not going to get better. It has to be taken out, and that doesn't feel good, but it's the best for the person who has a bad infection to make sure that it's taken out, that some uncomfortable stuff has to happen for it to get better. And when we have guilt in our lives, when God has uncovered guilt, it's going to be a little hard before it gets better, but you have to trust. Hey, the Lord says, if I repent and believe, I will be restored. I will be restored. Maybe to that person, but fully to God. God says it over and over again in his word. When you repent, when guilt has been uncovered and you recognize it and you repent and you believe, it might be hard for a while, but he says there's joy coming. The realization of it, you can say the guilt being lifted off of your shoulders and knowing that the creator of the universe, he knows what you did and he still loves you. And may that be true of us as brothers and sisters in the Lord. When somebody is guilty before us and they truly repent, and they show they truly believe, then we're willing to forgive. Jesus said some parables about that, didn't he? He really, that's even in the Lord's Prayer. We have that. Forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. May we be people eager to believe this, that when guilt surfaces, we're willing to repent and believe. And at the same time, when people come to us with their guilt, we may be people who know the grace of God, because none of us, you can say, have been guilt-free. All of us need our guilt to be uncovered at times, so that we can come before the Lord repenting and believing. And Judah goes on from this. He gives a story about how this all happened. He says, hey, he keeps on noticing this. He keeps on calling Joseph, his younger brother, Lord, all the time. He's saying, hey, I can't let this happen. My father, I promised him, I will be your assurance. I will make sure Benjamin comes home. And we can't think Benjamin is just a young boy. If you look at the next chapter, when chapter 46, when all of the whole, you can say, community of Jacob's family comes, read that Benjamin has 9 kids already. So Benjamin isn't a little kid here. Benjamin would have been a man with children, with 9 children, so in his 20s or 30s. So he's not a young man. He's not a little kid. But he speaks up for his brother. Judah does. And at the end he says, take me instead. May I be the replacement of my brother. May I replace him. May I be a substitute for him. And we read throughout the Old Testament, that whole idea of substitution is so prevalent. Substitution. Now, Judah, he couldn't be the proper substitute. He was guilty himself. He was the guilty one. He even says that he was the guilty one. He couldn't be the proper substitution. He was guilty himself. And all through the Old Testament, you can see that there were substitutions. All the animal sacrifices were substitutions. Now, were they the ones that actually took away the sins of God's people? All those sacrifices, all the idea of substitution pointed to the person and work of Jesus Christ, because he was the perfect substitution. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That whoever believes, whoever repents and believes in this one is truly forgiven. But we see that Judah, in a sense, foreshadows that. Seeking to be a substitute. You can say the ancestry of Jesus. Jesus himself, in a sense, was, in a sense, living a little bit inside of Judah, you could say, and bubbling out, pointing forward to the one who could be the true substitute, the one who was without sin, who was pure, who could be that one. But Judah could not. He even said he was guilty. But did what Judah say, did it touch Joseph's heart? It certainly did. It touched Joseph's heart. And through it all, you think it was hard for Joseph to, you can say, to not reveal himself to his brothers, especially to Benjamin. He's suppressing that. Because why is he always, was he suppressing the urge to give Benjamin a hug and say, I'm your brother. It's been over 20 years since he saw his brother. Benjamin would have been a young boy, probably 10 or 11 years old, maybe a little older, when Joseph was sold into slavery. And now, 20-some years later, he sees Benjamin and he suppresses that desire to hug him. Why does he suppress that desire to hug him? Because he wants to make sure his brothers have changed. He cares not just for Benjamin, but he cares for his brothers too. He wants restoration to happen. And then when Judas shows, hey, this is a changed man. This is the man who said to the brothers, let's don't dirty our hands by killing Joseph. Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites. And they, as a slave, he's a pampered young man. He's not going to survive. He'll die soon, but it won't be on our hands. We won't have blood in our hands. Joseph knew Judah had done that 20 or so years earlier. And now he hears these words. And it's overwhelmed. There's a change here. Restoration could happen. It took a while for Joseph to come to this conclusion. I truly trust my brothers have repented. And sometimes in our circles, when a person has sinned against you, can you say, forgive him like that? It doesn't always happen, does it? We're sinful people. God, he looks into the heart. He knows if we're truly repentive. God can do that. But we as sinful people, we who are not God, who cannot look into the hearts, we need time. When a person has hurt us deeply, to forgive. There should be a desire to forgive, but at the same time, there should be time so that you can truly believe that this person has truly repented. So, because the reason repentance should happen is restoration. The reason God brings repentance into our life and faith into our lives so the relationship with God and us can be restored. But that's the same with us as individual brothers and sisters in the Lord. Why do we need to repent to each other? So restoration can happen. But then those people who have done something wrong, they have to allow that person some time to accept your repentance. And to know that deep down you truly believe. And that's why sometimes it takes you a little bit of time to say, how are we willing to take consequences? If you're really repenting, you're willing to take consequences. That doesn't mean you're paying the price for your sin, but you're saying, hey, I want to show truly that I'm repentant of this, that I'm sorry I did this and I don't want to do it again. And there should be a desire. And Joseph was seeking that. And that's why when he hears Judah, these final words that Judah says, it says he could not control himself anymore. He was overwhelmed with I can do it now. I hear his words. I can do it now. He cares. Judah had said this, or the brothers had said this about their father earlier, that, hey, Benjamin and his father are very close. But all this is so overwhelming to him now. He's saying, I could now reveal myself. And he tells everybody to leave. And he weeps. And it's not a weep of sadness. I don't know if you ever had that you suppressed your emotions for a while. And then you allow them to come out. And sometimes it's almost uncontrollable when they come out. And that's what he's feeling. He suppressed his wanting to hug Benjamin and to see that his brothers had truly repented. And he sees it now, and he overwhelmed with joy and tears of delight, of weeping just come out of him. And it's so loud that even Pharaoh, other people out of his home, could hear it. And then Joseph says, I am Joseph. And he says, is my father still alive? Judas already said it, but he wants confirmation. And it's interesting, it says, but his brothers could not answer for him, for they were... Now, the dismayed is probably not the best translation. It's dismayed with an element of fear. Sometimes we call that being terrified. Just like sometimes it's hard for a person who has been hurt to forgive or to know the other is truly repentive, sometimes it's hard to believe that somebody forgives us. If to trust that that person, okay, things are restored now. They must have thought, boy, Joseph, that's Joseph? we've been just telling him what we did? Or is he going to get us? He might seem nice now, but does he truly like us? Will he? He's second in command. He can have our heads cut off. He can put us into slavery the rest of our lives. What's he going to do? They're unsure if Joseph would really forgive. Later on in the last chapter of this book, again, after Jacob dies, his brothers are unsure about what Joseph would do to him, to do to them. And they plead with him again to forgive them. They still didn't trust it fully. Do we sometimes have a hard time trusting if people forgive us? Sometimes we even have a hard time forgiving ourselves at times. I've heard people say that. It's hard to forgive myself. But it's sometimes hard for us to forgive each other. And we have to... We have to trust that people can forgive us. But that takes time too. And those who have been hurt and you truly forgive the other person, it could take some time for that person to trust you that you are truly forgiven. Because sometimes your body language, sometimes your words come out to make it seem like you're not truly forgiven. You're not truly forgiving that person. That can happen. You can truly, honestly say you forgave that person, that in your heart you forgive that person, but you're a sinful person. Sometimes other stuff comes out of your body language, sometimes out of your mouth. And we have to also be patient with each other in that regard. It's wonderful to know that God doesn't need that. God looks into your heart. He knows when you're truly forgiven. And his words are clear. As far as east is from west, so far as I've removed your sins from you. He says, I want you to believe me. Now, we might be able to always believe each other because we're sinful people. And sinful people sometimes do foolish things. But we can trust God. And the more we trust God, the more we can trust each other. I want to say that again. The more we trust that God has truly forgiven us and that overwhelming guilt has been taken away, that God says, you're my beloved child. I know you did that. I uncovered that sin so that you would come to me and know repentant and repent and know that I will forgive you. And with that joy of salvation, you can say in your mind, in your heart, then you can trust others more easily. Now, you might, we're still sinful people, but you don't do it on your own strength. You do it in the strength of the understanding you're forgiven by God. Because that's a strength. Repenting and believing, repenting of your sins, believing that God has truly forgiven you, is a strength. Not your strength, but God's strength living in you, and in that strength, able to forgive each other. Jesus one time said to a woman who had sinned, and she wiped his feet with her hair after crying over them, and Jesus says, she loves much because she's forgiven much. And when a person is forgiven much, and they know they're forgiven much, and they love much, then they're able to trust other people in a greater way. And may that be true of each of us, that we recognize that when guilt is in our hearts and our minds, that's God's doing it, so that we would repent and believe that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And then may we trust when we've hurt other people and they show that they are forgiving us, that we would trust that and relationships could be restored. Because it's just not in the world where relationships can be hard. Even amongst God's people, because we're still sinners. Relationships can be hard amongst us too. And we have to be willing to repent to each other, be patient with the other when a person says they've repented. And when we repent, be patient with a person who needs to forgive us. And may we be also patient and trusting. Because if we push it, I've heard some people say they've hurt tremendously by the other person, and right away they say, I forgive you. With their words, they forgave, but not with their heart. And they constantly had a struggle inside of them because they didn't admit that it was hard for them to forgive. May we admit that at times. We're not perfect people. We need to struggle through it. If we just say it without meaning it, it's not good. We need to first mean it and then say it. And may we be patient with each other, trusting that when we come to God, He knows what's in our heart perfectly. And when we repent and believe in His forgiveness, may we have more and more the ability to repent to each other and believe each other and go forward in restoration.